This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to turn stress into rest.
Amen. Anybody got joy in the Holy Ghost today? Amen. Well, we're going to talk about joy. 2 weeks ago, we started a message on how to turn stress into rest. And today, we're going to deal with the second part of that message. What we found out in the first part of this message is that stress is a fact of life. I don't care how good a Christian you are, how much you love the Lord, how obedient you are to the Word of God, you will not escape stress in your life. Anybody here experiencing any stress in your life today? Let me just see who I'm talking to. Amen. I think I got a full audience today. Stress is unavoidable. We cannot avoid it in life. But what we found out last time is that not only is stress unavoidable in our lives, stress is necessary in our lives. God has so constructed us, He has so set up and ordered this world that stress is a necessary part of our lives as Christians, because we talked about the fact that it is stress that motivates you to change. If you didn't have any stress in your life, guess what? You would never come out of your comfort zone. You would stay just the way you are because it's comfortable for you. It's easy for you. Let me just see. Any lazy folks here today? Anybody who would admit to being lazy? Uh-huh. My hand is up. Amen. Uh-huh. Yeah, see, we don't change unless there's a reason to change. Amen? And so God knows that stress is a necessary motivational factor in order to cause us to desire to change in our lives. And as we've talked about so many times, God loves us just the way we are. Amen? But He loves us too much to let us stay that way. God wants us to develop. Well, last time when we talked about it, let me get my chair again. I use the example of this chair. Those of you who know my background know that I was an electrical engineer, and so I had to learn a lot of physics. Stress is a technical term. Well, I mean, we use it in everyday life, and we'll have an everyday definition of stress that we'll talk about. But technically, in the world of physics, stress is defined as a force or a pressure that tends to deform the object to which it is applied. It tends to deform the object to which it is applied. And so I use this chair as an example of stress. Now, look at me sitting in this chair. How many of you know that I am applying pressure to this chair right now? Amen? I am applying a lot more pressure than some of you would to this chair right now. This chair is under stress. But guess what? It is under stress, but it is not being stressed. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm applying stress to this chair, and as I said last time, if back in my old days when I still knew my math and my physics, amen, long time ago, I could have calculated for you the stress factors operating in every part of this chair. That's just physics. That's just the numbers. I can do that. I could do that. Hallelujah. Amen. But catch it. Even though this chair is under stress, it is not being stressed. There is a force being applied, my weight, that tends to deform the chair, but guess what? It is not being deformed. Why? Because this chair was built to handle stress. Amen? That's why we're buying chairs. Hallelujah. We're buying chairs that are built to handle stress. Now catch it. Just like that chair is built to handle stress, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if Christ is in your life, you are built to handle stress. Understand, God says you will not escape stress in this world. There is no way to avoid stress, but God never intends for you to be stressed out by the stress in your life. And so what we want to talk about today is how do we deal with stress in such a way that even though we will be under pressure, we will be under stress, that'll be part of our lives from now until Jesus comes. But even though that is the case, how can we have rest in the midst of our stress? Go over to James chapter 1, our text for the day. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. You know, one way in which I could make this chair more subject to stress, look at how the legs are formed. They basically go down. Now, if I were to take these legs and bend them out, and then I sat in that chair, what would happen? The chair would probably collapse. Amen? You see, in order to be able to withstand stress, you got to have your legs under you. Amen? Any of us ever feel like we don't have our legs under us? Feel like we just kind of out there? Amen? Well, we want to find out today how to keep our legs under us so that we can withstand the stresses of life. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What we want to do today is look at three words, three verbs. Kids, here's your test for the day. What kind of word is a verb? It's an action word. Okay, very good. A verb is a word that tells us an action that we need to perform. And in this passage, there are three verbs that we want to look at. We'll probably get two of them today and then the third one next time, Lord willing. But the three words are this in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Count is the first verb. In verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Knowing is the second one. And in verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work. Let is the third verb that we're going to deal with. Words that tell us what we need to do in order to keep our feet under us so that we are able to withstand the pressure of stress in our lives. Let's start with a definition. That word count. Can I give you some Greek this morning? Anybody say amen? Amen. All right, thank you. Amen. That word count is the Greek word hegeomai. What it means is to deem, to consider, to account, to esteem, to judge, to suppose, to think. That word has to do with how I think about the situation that I'm in. In other words, when James says, count it all joy, what he's telling me to do is to make up my mind about how I'm going to think about the situation that I'm in. Let me see. I need a victim. Come on. Now, can you take care of yourself? You out on the street, man, and somebody gets up in your face. Can you take care of yourself? Okay. Now, I want you to understand something. This is an illustration. All right. I don't mean nothing. All right. But you can take care of yourself, right? Suppose somebody came up and did. That is a demonstration now. Just a demonstration. All right. Now, out on the street, we might have a little different result from this action. Isn't that right? But you notice how careful I was to lay it out for him. This is just a demonstration. All right, brother? Thank you. That's all I need. Amen. Now, catch it. Why didn't Ken pop off at me? No, you don't have to tell me. Amen. Understand something. The difference between him retaliating and him having a smile on his face and saying, "That's great, Pastor," is what? He knew what was going on. I made it very clear. How many times did I say it? This is a demonstration. All right. But catch what I'm trying to get across to you. It was because of what was going on in his mind that determined his reaction to that situation. If I had been out on the street and I was somebody that didn't like him and he didn't like me, and I came up and do that, do you think I would put him under a little bit of stress? Even if he thought he could handle himself, that'd put him under some stress, amen? Because in today's world, you go and push somebody, you don't know what they're going to pull out. Isn't that right? So that's some stress. But did you feel stressed when you were up here? No. Why? He knew what was going on. You see, it is not your circumstance that causes stress in your life. It is what you think about your circumstance that causes stress in your life. You can have the same action going on, and you will either be stressed by it, stressed out by it, or you will take it and laugh at it, depending on how you think about that circumstance that you're dealing with. And that's what this word count has to do with. It is how we think about the situation that we're in. James is telling us that the key issue in handling stress in our lives is making up our minds how we're going to think about the situation that we face. Well, what are my choices? I gave you a physics definition of faith. Let's go back to our everyday working definition of faith that we had last time we talked about this. Excuse me, not of faith, but of stress. Stress is negative pressure applied to our emotions, to our feelings, because of perceived adverse or threatening circumstances. Negative pressure applied to our emotions because of perceived adverse or threatening circumstances. So the first choice I have in how I think about my situation is to focus on my adverse or threatening circumstances. How bad the situation is, what is going on, and how horrible it is on me. Isn't that what we tend to do? When we're in a stressful situation, what does our mind tend to go to? How bad it is. And we tend to think about how bad it is. We tend to talk about how bad it is. We go to bed and we dream about how bad it is. Understand, my mind interprets my circumstances to my feelings. My mind interprets my circumstances to my feelings. In other words, the way I am thinking about a situation will determine how I feel about that situation. Whether I feel stressed or whether I feel joy depends on the way I think. So God says, if you're in the middle of a stress-filled situation, instead of taking option number one, which is to focus on how bad the situation is, what people are doing to you, how much pressure you're under, God says, instead of that, here's option number two. Count it all joy. Think of it as joy being in that stress-filled situation. Instead of thinking about how bad the situation is, instead of going over and over in your mind, thinking about how much you hate the situation you're in. Is anybody identifying with this yet? Instead of thinking about and talking about and rehearsing and keeping going over and over again in every conversation how bad somebody's treating you, instead of continuing to break it down and to fix it up in your mind and to work it out in your mind, just how unfair they have been to you, how ungodly that person is to you, how if they would just get their act together, everything would be all right, because they just downright wrong in the way they're treating you. And you think about it, and you talk about it, and you plot in your mind, oh, if I wasn't a Christian, what I would do to them. You know? And you just keep going around in that rut over and over again. And God says, instead of all that, catch it. God says you need to be glad that you're going through what you're going through. Now, wait a minute. You want to talk about something that sounds unrealistic. You in the midst of stress. Something is happening in your life you don't like. Amen? And God says you need to be glad that you got some bad circumstances in your life. Isn't that what counted all joy means? I mean, is there another way to interpret that? I went to seminary, but you know, if I got it wrong, you can set me right. Count it all joy when you go through various trials. Isn't that right? God is saying you need to be glad. Oh, now, how can that be? Well, let's look at that word count again. See if we can understand how this works. That word count is a verb, but it's a special kind of verb. It's a verb that's called an imperative. Anybody know what an imperative is? It's a C. Come on, C word. Kids, anybody know? Command. Somebody said it. Very good. It's a command. And so when God says to count it all joy, that is not a suggestion. That is not, it would be a good idea if you happen to think about it to do this. No, what is it? It's a command. God says, do it. Now, there are some things that we know about any command of God. Number one, we know that if God gives us a command, it's something that we can do. If we couldn't do it, it would be an invalid command. Let's just take a little test right quick. Raise your right hand. Everybody, raise your right hand. All right. You obeyed that command. That was a valid command, wasn't it? You could do it. Now, I don't need everybody for this next one. I just need a couple of people. What I want you to do is to levitate yourself out of your seat, fly around the sanctuary two times, exactly two, not three, two, and then settle yourself back in your seat. Okay, I just need two people to do that for me. Now, what's the problem? That's an invalid command. Why? Because I told you to do it, but what? You can't do it. You can't do it. Catch it. God never gives invalid commands. If God commands us to do something, it's something that he's given us the power and the ability to do. So when God says, count it all joy, when he says, be glad when you're going through a difficult, stressful circumstance, guess what? God is saying, you can do it. You can do it. But what do we say? But I can't help the way I feel. Isn't that what we say? I can't help the way I feel. Catch it. Remember, we said that my mind interprets my circumstances to my feelings. The way I feel about my circumstances is because of the way I think about my circumstances. If I go with the flow of my natural feelings when I'm in a stress-filled situation, guess what? I will be stressed out. If I just go the way my feelings are and just let my feelings lead me, I mean, how many of you enjoy stress? Now, some people do like some kind of stress. You know, any of you skydivers? Let me see. Anybody ever done parasailing? I remember I was down in Mexico and people would get behind a boat and a rope would pull them up. And, you know, I'm always thinking, okay, what if the rope breaks? All right. Amen. You know, so that's some stress. Some people like, you know, that adrenaline rush. But guess what? When we have stress in our everyday lives, it's usually not very pleasant, is it? And what do our feelings say? No, you can't be glad about this. No, you huff and puff and complain about this. If I go with my natural feelings, I will think about my situation all the time, and I will be stressed. But what God says I need to do is this. Instead of thinking about the circumstances, I need to be thinking about the joy. Hallelujah. He says, count it all joy. And understand something. When I look at my circumstances and I say, look, yeah, I don't enjoy my circumstances, but God said I can count it all joy. I'm going to find the joy in this circumstance. And you know what begins to happen? As you begin to look for joy and as you begin to find joy and as you begin to be joyful, even in the midst of your circumstances, guess what? Your feelings will begin to line up with the way you think. Remember that your thinking It is your thinking that interprets your circumstances to your feelings. So once you begin to accept what God says and to look at your circumstances and say, there's joy in here someplace, guess what? It will take some of that pressure of the stress off of your feelings. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Look at the power we have over the way we think. Some of us not only say, well, I can't help the way I feel. We sometimes say, I can't help the way I think. Well, you know what that is? That's a lie. You can help the way you think. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Look at it. The Apostle Paul says, this is the power that we have as believers in Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit living within us and therefore the power of God operating in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing what? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I can control my thoughts. I can control the way I think. If I subject my thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Catch it. Here's the bottom line. You know how you change the way you feel about your circumstances? You change the way you feel by changing the way you think. Go over to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We change the way we feel by changing the way we think. And what's that process of changing the way we think called? Here it is. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to turn your stress into rest, your mind needs to be renewed about how to think about the circumstances that you're going through. I must allow my thoughts and my perceptions, my very outlook on life, to be shaped not by the circumstance that I'm experiencing, not by my natural feelings about my circumstances, but by the Word of God. When I'm in a stressful situation, my feelings urge me to keep on thinking about how bad the situation is. I keep going around in that rut of worrying about what's happening. How am I going to get through it? How am I going to get over it? What if they do this? What if this happens? Anybody been there? Amen. Amen. See, that's what my natural feelings will have me doing. But if I am going to have victory over stress, be in a stress-filled situation, but not be stressed out, it'll be because my mind has been renewed and I'm not allowing it to go into that worry rut anymore. Instead, in order to turn my stress into rest, I must consciously and deliberately shape my thinking according to the Word rather than according to the way I feel. I said there were two things we knew about any command of God. The first one is that it is something we can do, or it would be an invalid command. But here's the second thing we know. It's something we must choose to do. How many of you know that God will never force you to obey Him? Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, to Adam and Eve. God said, Adam, I'm putting a tree in the middle of the garden. You can have access to every other tree, but don't touch this one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is forbidden to you. And when you tell a kid not to touch something, what does he do? Amen. But guess what? Whose choice was it? Adam's choice. Eve's choice. God did not want them to touch that tree, but God would not prevent them from touching that tree. Why? God will not override that free will that He gave us to choose right or wrong, to obey or disobey Him. We've got that choice. Amen? And so when God gives us a command, number one, we know we can do it. But number two, we know we've got to choose to do it. I mean, just think about when you were a kid. Okay, you think about where you are right now. Your mom says, clean up your room. Amen? Now, kids, come on, be honest with me. When your mom says, clean up your room, for how many of you is that automatic? She said, clean it. I just clean it. I don't even think about it. I just clean it. I don't see any kids' hands. Okay. When mom says, clean up your room, what? You got a choice to make, don't you? And sometimes that choice is, okay, mom, but not now. I'm watching TV. Amen. Isn't that, parents, isn't that right? Uh-huh. And sometimes and this is what I used to do with my mother. She said, I mean, to clean up my room or do something. I said, okay, I'm going to do it. As far as I was concerned, that was it. I answered the situation. You said, do it. I say, I'm going to do it. Now, in my mind, I had absolutely no plan on when I was going to do it. Amen. But as far as I was concerned, I took care of the situation. You see, anytime we are given a command, we got a choice. We can obey it or we cannot obey it. Even think about Jonah. God gave Jonah a command to go and preach to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go. But did God force him to go? No. God put pressure on. Amen. When they throw you overboard and you get swallowed by a big fish, that's pressure. That's stress. Amen. But God still gave Jonah the choice. Jonah, you got to decide that you want to obey me. So number one, we know that any command God gives us, we can do. But number two, any command God gives us, we've got to choose to do. So the first thing God is telling us about handling stress, it is that it is our choice whether we get stressed out by our situation in life. You see, if we follow what he commands us to do, we will not be stressed out. Amen? In the middle of stress going on all around us, we will not be stressed. But if we choose to disobey what he commanded us to do, we have made the choice to be stressed out by the circumstances we're going through. God says that when I'm in a stressful situation, I can count it all joy. Now, my feelings do not want to count it all joy. My feelings say that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. I'm going through this and I'm supposed to be glad. If you weren't God, I'd tell you you're crazy. That's what my feelings say. That's what my feelings say. But God says it's my choice. I've given you what it will take for you to be victorious and successful over the stress that invades your life. You got to learn to count it all joy. Even though you look at it and you can't see anything joyful about it. If you want to have the victory over stress in your life, if you want to turn your stress into rest, you got to do what God says. You got to count it all joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Make up your mind right now. Whatever I'm going through, I'm going to see that God is at work in my circumstance to do me good, and I am going to count it all joy.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.